Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. As you've noticed, we're on a little bit earlier, so I advise you to turn on your equipment to hear me a little bit earlier, because you never know. One of those things. Tonight we're going to be looking at how to practice spiritual athletics. Last week we were looking at where are you, how can you tell which dimension you're functioning in, but actually we didn't get much beyond the third dimension because that is so filled with those things that occupy our day-to-day lives that it's difficult sometimes to even define ourselves at another dimensional placement. But this evening I would like to look at the quality of your combined auric field and how it places you just by nature into a particular realm of manifestation. You might say that's where we find you, or that's where your predominant energy signature can be located. Bear in mind that we are all a musical motif. We are all the song of God sung into existence. We are all the living word. We are all made up of light and sound. In the beginning was the word, and from word emanated the light. Light densified into heat, which densified then into matter. So in the process of return to spirit, we move from the physical into that which is the heat of the kundalini, or the activation of the higher electrons, which produce a certain heat in the body. And then you move into the light, experiences of light. And then you begin to move into the experiences of sound. And this is something that happens as we go about our daily activities. It isn't linear at all. In fact, if we could drop even the sense of linear identification and begin to think of it as a circuity, an expansive radius, like dropping a stone into a still lake, your consciousness radiates from that placement in time and space, symbolized by the stone that is dropped into the pool of consciousness, of manifestation, of this human existence. And as you expand the light field of your awareness, your understanding, your embracement, your encompassment, your inclusiveness, you begin to operate in wider and wider fields of service, responsibility, that is the ability to respond and to embrace and to include and to foster, as it were, the light and the life under your custodianship. This would be the path of mastery that we are looking at, this path of initiation, this path of going beyond where we are and moving into a quantum universe that is expanding at the speed of light. As above, so below in the lower worlds. And as we look at this process of our universe expanding into quantum potentiality, that is to say we as well, as part and parcel of the universe, are also doing the same thing. Bear in mind that you bring the totality of your many, many appearances in time and space to bear in any given point of identification that we might call embodiment. Again, we need to even drop the idea of past and future lives, because in highest truth, there is no such thing. There is only life and the positioning of consciousness. And that point of, let's say, time lock identification that defines what we wake up and see in the morning when we arise, and that world that we believe will be there when we open our eyes after we have slept. So that would be what we would call our agreement for a certain time episode, a certain cycle of manifestation. But in highest truth, all of our potentials have been activated in time and space, so there really is no forward or backward in time, such as we commonly language it, no more than there is an up and down. There is only the awareness of that which is. So in the isness of the awareness that you have right now, we're going to be looking at different ways of moving that awareness, so that perhaps you could attain a different viewpoint of yourself and of life. The shifting of viewpoint I have referred to as the movement of spiritual inner awareness or soul travel. Again, travel is a misnomer because nothing really travels. It simply rearranges the molecules and the electrons of one appearance to that of another. It's more molecular displacement through intent, through visualization, through choice, through many, many factors that cause us to move from one position of perspective to that of another. As we begin to look at quantum mechanics and the quantum scientific approach, the metatronic sciences, which combine religion and art and music and sound and light and color, symbology, pictograms, all of those wonderful components, and spirituality itself, as we take that into one big package, we will be learning what it is to understand life from the Aquarian age perspective. We are moving into a time characterized by the air element, which has to do with the mind, which has to do with electronics, electrons per se, and the metatronic sciences that are now externalizing in our visual scientific paradigms. There's, if you will note in the various fields of human endeavor, there seems to be a third component that's now emerging that's neither far right nor far left, but partakes of a new possibility, a new bridging, a new weaving, as it were, into a new way of looking at things. So the first thing we need to perhaps consider is that we live in a world that is constantly moving at ever-increasing rates of vibratory wavelength oscillation. And that defines new possibilities that open to us. As we enter into these new areas of consciousness, obviously not everyone is going to be able to move into them. And the definitive factor is this. If you are of the mindset that you are here to be of service unconditionally to all life, that attitude of service combined with an open heart qualifies you to move into the high paradigm. If, on the other hand, you seek power for personal gain, for personal control and manipulation of your fellow man, or to harm or abuse them in any way, or to destroy life, then you are completely barred from access to the Christ consciousness grid and to these higher scientific understandings and revelations that are being poured forth now. Those that are able to work with these energies are coming in through the office of the Christ or the office of divine love, and they do not have any kind of a covert negative agenda or desire to misuse this power for any kind of mind control, psychotronics, anything else that would be enhancing the ego rather than being of service to humanity. So that's the important thing. Everything begins with the opening of the heart chakra. Now we're going to do in a moment here an exercise in which we're going to be moving into an alignment, a visualization for those of you that can visualize. If you can't, just write the energy of my words. And know that it is so as you move your awareness and your focus and your intention in alignment with what I'm saying. And the other way you can do it is to speak it out loud to yourself later on when you want to do this process by your own initiative. Ideally, we will learn to see inwardly, hear inwardly, and also sense kinesthetically in our energy field what we are doing. That way we have a full deck of cards, so to speak, of perception. But if you only have one dominant perception, say, for example, maybe kinesthetic, where you have to feel everything, begin to practice visualizing. In fact, let me do a little exercise right now. I'll bet you have more ability in these levels than you are aware of. Let's picture a nice orange, okay? You see a beautiful orange, and of course it's orange. Now smell the rind. Cut into it and smell that rind. Now squeeze a little of the juice in your mouth. Taste that juice. Oh, you spilt a little on the counter. Put your finger in it. Feel how sticky that is. Okay. Now I bet if I had a group of people and I ask you to raise your hands, I'll bet you most of you in the room could say that you were able to experience the orange as I described it. In the same way, beloved, this is the way you train yourself to experience on the inner realms. Granted, they are less visual. You see inwardly in a different way than you do outwardly. You hear inwardly in a different way than you hear outwardly. And you perceive or sense or feel things differently on the inner than you do in the outer. It's more subtle. And to begin with, you have to prime the pump, generally speaking, which for those of you who haven't grown up on a farm and known what it means to prime the pump, actually the phrase means you have to pour a little water into the pump to get it to where it will start to pump water. So to use another example, you sort of, when you're working in the higher levels that are largely formless, you need to put a form or a mock-up or a something to tack your awareness to. Those of you, for example, who are trained in waking up on the inner planes when you've gone to sleep at night, in lucid dreaming, you will know that one of the techniques that's often given is that you imagine something. You can take a ring. I used to use the ring. Sai Baba had materialized for me as my point of visualization. And I'd look at that ring on my finger before I'd go to sleep. And then when I was on the inner planes, I would immediately look for that ring. And that was my point that enabled me to know that I was indeed on another plane of existence. Another technique that's often given for finding yourself aboard ship within the Ashtar Command is to anchor your awareness on an object up there that's dear to you. All of us in the command have rooms, for example, aboard ship. And you can go into your room and find a point of contact with an object that you have of your personal belongings in that room. To diverge for a minute, I've just got to tell you this story. When my little girl, Krista, was about 5 years old, she went up on the ship, and she was very fond of going up on the ship and being with Ashtar. And I never talked much about these things to her, if at all. In fact, I don't even recall discussing these things with her. But one day she came running in, and she was all excited, and she said, "Mata, Mata, guess what?" And I said, "What, honey?" And she said, "I was up on the ship, and guess what? That I was in your room, and there's that book that you like to read, and it was sitting on your table, and your E.T. doll was sitting on the bed." And she's going on, and she's describing all the things that I normally have around me. She's referring to my Keys of Enoch book, that big white volume by Dr. Hertak that I love to read. Anyway, it was up on the ship. And then she was describing the things that were in her room. And what was interesting to me was that she knew that our names were on our rooms and that we had special clothes that we wore when we were aboard ship. And there were many, many little details that this little girl of 5 years of age was able to bring back that no one had told her about and she was quite aware of. So those of you that have star-seeded children, pay attention to when they tell you stories and things because they can remember and see very, very well, usually up until about the time they start to go to school. And then sometimes it gets a little dulled with the indoctrination of education. But anyway, pay attention to your children. So back to what I was discussing, how important it is to have a point of anchor for your consciousness. Just as your physical body is the point of anchoring in this time-space continuum, and when you wake up in the morning or when you leave your body in meditation and soul travel, you come back to the same point, don't you? This is your anchor point. So likewise, you can create an anchor point aboard ship or within another dimension, any place that you like, and then just put whatever it is that you want to focus on. Maybe it's a crystal, maybe it's a symbol, maybe it's it could be a piece of jewelry, it could be almost anything that you would like it to be, but have that as your touch point. Some people get very elaborate and create a line of energy that connects them with that point, that they sort of reel themselves up on, like a what would you call it, a deep sea diver's their apparatus that connects them to whatever, those people that go in outer space are connected to their space suit and their spaceship by some sort of a mechanism. You can also do that if you want to be real fancy. But the point is that we need to train ourselves to be more and more aware and conscious on the inner plane so that we can have more of a habitation there. Because if we don't work to build in a life at another level, then chances are we will pretty much hunker down in this dimension and stay stuck here. So we want to expand our life and expand our awareness of beingness to other levels. So the first thing we do is take a deep breath and experience your heart and just allow your heart to begin to expand and expand and expand in its radiation, and imagine that as a golden, beautiful golden effulgence. It's like a beautiful sun. It just rays light. And as it expands, it begins to include your whole body. Your whole auric field begins to be a unified heart field. Now expand it until you're very much aware of the seventh chakra above your head, the golden thousand-petal lotus atop your head, the highest chakra. So you unify with that. And then you unify in bringing the energy to include your eighth chakra. And this is the staging arena for your high self, and the eighth chakra connects you to your over-self. And in this process, you begin to really advance in your awareness and in your connectivity to higher portions of awareness and consciousness. So again, you're unifying your heart, which would be your fourth chakra, with your seventh and with your eighth. And the eighth template, and bear in mind this forms a trinity, and then the eighth chakra is actually itself the staging arena for your higher dimensional consciousness thrust. And as you take another deep breath, move your awareness up, expand that light to include your ninth chakra. And here we will find what is called the beloved. Sometimes people will see this beloved as a face or in an outline of a form. Generally, the Christed forms come through a golden light, a golden effulgence. This would be the soul. The soul realm or the higher realms of the Christed consciousness comes forward in golden light. And if you see that or if you have a vision of that, that's generally you at a higher level. And that can take the form of Jesus or Buddha or one of the Lords of Light. But in highest truth, you're looking at yourself. You're looking at your own face that will take the form that's dearest and nearest to your heart. Now, in this process, many of you have already accomplished this, but may not have had a reference point for what it means. And tonight we're going to be looking at a body that really begins to be operative in the fourth dimension. We have been moving into the fourth dimension for quite a long, long time. And the fourth dimension is characterized by, first of all, an increase in the colors that we see in the outer world. Maybe 30 years back, we didn't have such a palette of colors in our clothing choices, particularly for men. It was pretty much brown, black, gray, you know, that sort of thing. In fact, even if you go back in the 40s or 50s, there wasn't a lot of vivid colors. And then with the entrance of a lot of the new sounds coming in through the Beatles and earlier Elvis Presley and some of the musicians that began to bring in music that brought us into a different frequency. Simon and Garfunkel, there were just many, many troubadours that started bringing in a new sound. And that new sound began to vibrate us in a different way, and we began to enter a new level of consciousness. The consciousness that we entered into could be characterized as the fourth dimension, and with it came an increase in vivid colors, The different arts began to take off. We began to be more creative, more aware, and more expressive in a diversity of ways. We began to express things that before we had been sort of a little bit too conservative, a little bit not so adventuresome and expansive. So all of this time that we've been expressing ourselves artistically and musically and through color and different approaches to consciousness and the human potential movements and the new sciences and the new experiments and things that began to flood our human landscape of experience began to initiate us into the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension, as I've often said, pertains to those things that we were going to get around to clearing, around to healing, around to forgetting. You know, it's the realm of the round tuits. And the round tuits are all of those momentums that are not completely bathed in the loving of the one. There's still negative processes that we have to deal with in some way to bring closure, resolution, and healing and releasement from. So everything that has to do with the healing arts and the practicing of clearing and balancing and aligning and integrating ourselves has to do with the fourth dimension. Along with this comes an understanding and expansion of a body that is the first body that we begin to integrate when we start to expand beyond the norm as we know it. And that's called the epikinetic body or the energy body or the prana kosha or pranic body. That is to say the life force, etheric energy body. We see that body in activation in people who have seemingly paranormal abilities. Telekinesis, psychokinesis, levitation, bilocation, passing through solid objects, materializing and dematerializing. All of these particular abilities come with the operation of this body. This body is activated through sound. It is the first way that you really begin to experience sound as having an effect to move your form from one state to another. One of the techniques that came in some years back, well, two, was toning, where people would sing and tone and chant and do mantra, all of those very, or praise and worship. They began to use vocal sound to shift awareness, to shift consciousness. Within this also was the understanding of the effects of sound on malleable substances. We have the work of Hans Jenny, who experimented with sound and sand and how the sound played on a violin, for example, or chanted as a mantra would affect the patterns that would form in sand. We're most of us familiar with Dr. Emoto's work with freezing water and speaking prayers or whatever into the water and seeing the different formations that our words take and our thoughts take. Well, if you think of the fact that our bodies are, some say, as much as 80% water, you can immediately realize that we structure the water in ourselves by repeating beautiful words, mantras, speaking truth, praising God, expressing gratitude, and all the beautiful feelings and emotions that come with the activation of the epikinetic body. It is a body of deep and rich emotional feeling, but primarily of the higher qualities of devotion and adoration and creative expression and joy and enthusiasm and inspiration. So these are the qualities that will begin to quicken and activate these levels within you. To begin to operate in the higher levels, we have to become self-feeders. We have to know how to keep our gas tank full of that fuel that will keep us refueled and re-energized spiritually. As I've said before, begin to become a spiritual scientist in the sense that notice what imparts energy to you. Energy is God. Energy is life. And whatever depletes or drains energy is not for you, beloved. Begin to ascertain everything by the quality of energy it imports into your life. For example, you'll notice when you eat certain foods, it drops your energy. Don't eat those foods. You'll notice when you partake of other foods that your energy is strong and vibrant, and so eat those foods. You'll notice certain companies, certain people tend to almost vampirize your energy. They'll drain you because they're always down in the dumps, or they're on the pity pot, or they're in some form of karmic drama which they're unwilling to release. Why hang out with people like that? Begin to keep company with people who are also feeding themselves and moving in those patterns of inspiration. Of course, you know, if you've got your game down and you're able to be of service to people and helping them to shift out of the negative states, then go for it. But if you find it just pulls you down to their level and to those lower vibrations, then you do yourself a disservice in keeping company with people who are fond of staying in the depressed state. To avoid those states of stagnancy and depression, we need to keep moving. You will begin to build in where you keep putting your focus. We build, for example, muscles by exercise and working out. We build emotional patterning and the emotional body by getting into life and love and experiencing and being willing to risk getting hurt and bruised and releasing it and moving to the next opening of love. And also mentally, we develop mentally by constantly cultivating our consciousness, our mind, putting into our mind those thoughts and those contemplations and visualizations and studies that will enrich and expand our understanding. And likewise, in the spiritual realm, we need to put time into going within and being with the presence of the self that we truly are without a lot of input. And when I say input, there's times for that, and there's times when you go apart and you sometimes just sit in the silence and just watch what's there. The Buddhist traditions call that Vipassana meditation. I like to call it the meditation of the sun behind the clouds. If you visualize yourself as a sun, and the clouds are those states of feeling and perception and imagery and the stream of mind flow and the various things that happen in your daily life, if you do nothing but stay just still and just observe it, without going there and attaching or feeling like you have to do anything with it. In fact, if you have a situation in which you want it to resolve very quickly, one of the simplest techniques is to just sit and allow whatever it is to pass before you and just let it pass by. Don't do anything with it. You'll notice that your phenomenal experiences in time and space have exactly the same impression on you, you the Son of God, S-U-N of God, you who are the divine Atma, the Self, the Spirit. Those passing phenomenal events will leave no residual on you whatsoever. You will be karmic free, and those events will simply dissolve in the light of your awareness. Because remember, your eyes are the windows of your soul, and through your eyes pours the light of the self that you are, and that light will dispel and completely consume any negative effects if you just stay centered. Stay centered and just let it pass before you. Very, very good meditation. And we get hooked karmically where we identify. We go, oh my gosh, we judge, or we get emotionally snagged, or we have unfinished business in an area. And if it's not clear, it's not clear. And then you have your area where you have some karma, because karma means unfinished action or unfinished business that keeps repeating until you do something with it. And, of course, the best thing to do is to dissolve it in the light of awareness if you can. And sometimes you can't. Sometimes you just have to do the forgiveness techniques or the prayers or the working it through, communicating, clearing it in whatever way you possibly can. But the more that you do that, the more you release yourself and your energy to function in a higher level and in a more spiritual framework of reference. The techniques that we use to keep our tank, our spiritual vitality pool, filled are anything that increases our appreciation, our love, our gratitude, and our energy in relationship to our awareness of our connectedness to all life. When you go out about your daily activities, practice, someone asked me the other day, how do you practice loving people and seeing the God in them? And I said, well, I practice active benevolence. And the person thought that was really, really good. And I thought it was too when I thought about it, because it's an attitude, but active benevolence really defines it, to my way of thinking, perfectly. You just have a benevolent attitude towards people. You're not judging, you're not appraising, you're not evaluating. You're letting everyone do what they need to do and be what they need to be. But your overall attitude towards them is one of kindly, active benevolence. Active in the sense that if there's some way you can be of assistance, you do that. And if you can't, you leave them alone. One of the highest forms of loving is to allow people to just be what they need to be and do what they need to do and not lay your trip on them, so to speak. So as we move about in our daily life with this attitude of active benevolence, we are also activating those chakras I just spoke of. We're keeping the heart open. We are moving our spiritual inner awareness out through our physical bodies and into the world in a form of selfless service. It's also the path of practicing, as you move about in the world, the meditation of objectivity, or vipassana. In other words, you're allowing things around you to unfold, but you're not hooking into your need to manipulate, control, coerce, change, whatever. All of those attitudes come out of ignorance. They come out of the ego, because the ego always thinks it has to fix something. But when you're in the higher consciousness, you realize that everything is simply God, having a phenomenal and sometimes human experience, and sometimes expressing through other things. But actually, there's only God. We live and move and have our being in God. And so as we move into self-realized states of awareness, where we realize there's only the self, the divine self, the God presence, infusing every atom of existence with life and sentiency and perfection and beauty, then you can watch the becoming, the realms of becomingness, with active benevolence, because you realize that there are certain things that are within your realm of, let's say, service reachability or service capability, and certain things that you're just not anointed and appointed to deal with. But if you stay focused in that divine self, in that loving space, in that inclusive, active, benevolent state of awareness, you will do more for the world than any amount of do-gooders trying to fix it or change it or whatever. That's not to say those of you that are in missions that specifically deal with fixing or assisting in those levels are doing the wrong thing. No, I'm not talking about that. But it's an attitude that we begin to detach a little bit from taking things too much to heart and too seriously. Because I tell you a truth, it doesn't matter, because it isn't matter that we're dealing with. Spirit, when spirit comes into involution, spirit descends into matter. It's like a God exhales and spirit exhales into densified form. And then with the inhalation, spirit evolves or moves back on that in-breath into the all that is. So you have this centrifugal and centrifugal movement, this in-breath and this out-breath, always taking place in all facets of life, but also in manifestation. So just as it's totally appropriate at one stage for us to densify and become human and to experience the fields of limitation, so it's also appropriate at another time to release that and to return our awareness back to the home that in highest truth we've never left. Just like the nose doesn't leave the face in the act of inhalation and exhalation, so we never leave the presence of the beloved in the beloved's inhalation and exhalation of life. This, again, moving into our epikinetic body is very much tied in with breathing, with breath control, with pranayamic practices, which I do not advocate, aside from breathing in before you integrate and breathing out, and breathing in before you utter your hue or your mantra, whatever it is, and breathing out, or using it in cadence as you go in and out of your walking or physical exercises that you bring in rhythmic cadence with your mantra. You can do that also. Pranayama per se is not the thing to do unless you're under a really skilled teacher who can guide you, because it will very quickly derange your astral body and bring it out of control if it isn't done properly. And most of the cities that we live in don't have pure enough prana in terms of the air and the air pollution that's prevalent in most cities for it to be a good practice. If you're a yogi or in an ashram or in the Himalayas or someplace where there's really pure air, that's maybe a different thing for you. But for most of you listening to this program, don't worry about those kind of practices, because they do more harm than good if you don't know what you're doing. The safe and sure way is to balance your life with a time for inner practices of meditation, contemplation, rumination. In other words, turn the things over in your mind and contemplate them that you've studied. Began to practice some of the things that I share on these radio shows. Began to try new things, study, expand your awareness, your understanding, and enjoy your life. There's nothing here to be feared or avoided. It's a gymnasium where we develop into spiritual athletes, and our daily activities form our school of initiation. Your life, the difficult points are your karma, your unfinished business, and the points of pleasure and loving are the points that you connect to your high true self and to God. God always meets you at the point of your loving, and no matter where you are, God is, and all is well. And when I speak of God, I speak of a personal God that's a person who loves you, who cares about you, who is experienced through any being who is totally merged with God. You might say that person has become the God-man or the God-woman when they have attained a God-realized state, such as Sai Baba or Jesus Christ or one of the other great manifestations of the divine. So God is also beyond name and form. God is also that formless spirit which then bursts the Elohim, or the creator gods, that then began to form the creations, the worlds and realms of creation. So God is both impersonal and personal. And it's the personal aspect of God that we really need to get to know and have a relationship with, because that is that part that will always be empty within us until we have actually consummated and marriaged that divine beloved within us. Once we have had that marriaging with the divine beloved, you will know what true love is, and you will also know what it is to be totally fulfilled and complete within yourself. And that's as simple as your accepting it and requesting it and accepting it. Eventually, we will learn to live for God and not have any sense of any separation. We will literally become divine agents with no separation from the self that we are and the divine self that we have merged with, the beloved. That truly is the marriage made in heaven that no person can ever render or rend asunder. So the epikinetic body often when you connect with it, you'll begin to hear the inner sound current very well. You'll hear, I heard it as the singing of angelic voices, which was so beautiful, I couldn't even begin to describe it. But it can take various forms depending upon which realm you are tapping into the most readily. And another show I'll go into the different sounds. But for now, just know that it's a musical symphony of your divinity that you begin to hear. You begin to hear your musical motif, and moreover, the musical motif of other beings that you may be in a connection with or affinity with. Science has now discovered that each planet in the solar system has its own symphonic chord that it emits. And when you put all of the planets and the suns and the moons and the galaxies all together, you have the music of the spheres, you have the music of the cosmos, and you hear the Bhagavad Gita, the song of God. This is the living word. This is really the word of God. Really the living word is that sound that is spoken through everything that exists. And likewise, you have your own specific melodic refrain that defines you. Those of you who are singing and musicians, very often now, today particularly, you will be utilized by the angelic Gandharvas, those angels of music, to bring forward new understanding through revelatory sound. So I encourage those of you who are musicians or singers, those of you that can tap into the flow of the Holy Spirit and sing in the Spirit, many times you'll begin to utter prophetic, beautiful prophecies that you interpret as those sounds begin to come through you. The higher worlds of light communicate to you through pictograms and sound motifs, and you will learn to operate in a realm of color and light and sound that will become the new scriptures, the inner scriptures of the heart that you will begin to be taught by. This is truly being taught by the Word of God and reading the inner scriptures of the Beloved that are actually inscribed upon every strand of your DNA and upon every cell of your being. They are imprinted. The name of God is encoded. All of the names of God, all of the vibrational frequencies that are available for us at this time and space and dimension can be accessed in this manner. These are beautiful things, are they not? So let's again take a deep breath. And tonight, let's do another service project. And I ask you to take your place at the table of the masters. You are familiar with it. This one is going to be aboard ship, aboard the ship of the Ashtar Command. Just find yourself around that large oval table, and you know your seat. You just go to it. And let's know that Lord Sananda, Lord Jesus, in his higher galactic embodiment as Sananda, is sitting at the head of the table. And just have a sense that you are one in the great work of loving and lifting, transforming and ascending worlds. That work is one, no matter where you function or operate. And I'll show you how we work with the planet. You're familiar. As I speak about it, you will remember. In the center of the table, there's a convex and a concave globe, so that it looks somewhat like a large circular viewing globe or lens. It's not a crystal ball, and we don't use it for divination. We use it to focus our combined intention. When we come to an agreement of what we want to look at, that particular agreement begins to materialize as the geography or the topography or the dimensional realm or the group of people that we want to examine. Why would we do that? We're always looking at the state. We're taking the temperature, as it were, of the state of humanity. And we're always seeing where we can inject light, where we can bring active benevolence to play, to insert any degree of positive energy that we are allowed by spiritual law to shed forth in the benevolence of our own intention and our own heart's radiance. We are not allowed to interfere with people's individual karmic choices. Sometimes great avatars that are embodied on Earth will mitigate or even alleviate certain destinies that could have played out had there not been grace and divine intervention. We had this just occur recently with the Lord Satya Sai Baba, who prevented us from entering into a third world war. So these kind of acts of divine intervention are occasionally exercised by very, very great full avatars. But most of us that work in various other stages within the spiritual hierarchy and the brotherhoods, we do what we can to support actions of benevolence in the world. And this is what we do when we look into our viewing lens. So tonight we're bringing up again a group of people who have been displaced through floods here in California, the Malibu fires that took over 50 houses, lives who were disrupted and changed. And as we bring up that scenario, through our combined intention, we just ask and intend the light of the highest good and divine benevolence to touch to every single man, woman, child, animal, situation, environment, home, and life that was touched and impacted by these planetary cleansings, these tremendous events that are hitting so many landscapes throughout the world right now and changing them. I wonder if we'll recognize our world pretty soon. There's been so much disruption. But out of that, you see, will grow new plants where they've been burned. In fact, there are some plants that don't even, that aren't even able to reproduce until they've been touched by fire, interestingly enough. So the forests will regrow, and the plants will regrow, and the flowers will regrow, and lands will be cleared, and new houses will come up. And hopefully a new life, a life of greater beauty, will come out of the ashes of this destruction. And so we just send the light for the highest good to all of these people, and we release it. Take a deep breath. And just as we chant hue into this situation, just allow it to go forth as a non-coercive prayer, as a love song of grace, to just go forth to these people. Hue. An intense purple as I was doing that, and you may have too, and that's the energy of the spiritual travelers going forward and transmuting and shifting that that energy within the people that we just chanted for. This is a place that you can come as a point of anchor aboard the ships of the Ashtar Command. Generally, every mothership has this meeting room, meeting room. And we have it also within the brotherhoods, the various ashrams on the physical plane, and in the etheric physical in Shambhala, we have, again, the same type of table formation. The Knights of the Round Table of King Arthur were patterned after that table, as a matter of fact. But ours is better because we can see... we can bring up a freckle on your nose if we need to through our combined intention. So again, as you find those particular techniques that work for you, whether it's singing or toning or playing music or listening to music with headsets, good music, quality music, music that's uplifting. You will find that it begins to put you into harmony with that inner musical tapestry that we call the epikinetic body. That body will enable you to do, like I told you some shows back, how Solariel and I drove through a upturned semi-tractor trailer that was overturned on the highway on a dark night in the desert, and we passed through it. And that was through means of the epikinetic body. The epikinetic body will enable you, like Uri Geller, who was able to bilocate from one point in New York City to another point 40 miles away. It will enable you to do many, many things that would seem to be impossible given our particular understanding of how things operate in the third dimension. But remember, in the fourth dimension, you can do things that you can't do in the third dimension. And we're not going to stay in the fourth dimension, but it is a field that we're really starting to move into more and more right now. And what you'll notice is that things that before were invisible are starting to be seen. For example, the Sasquatch. There's been a lot of things on our television here in the United States about various paranormal, seemingly paranormal experiences of strange animals and beings, and the Loch Ness, Nessie, that particular being that lives in the deep waters, not only in Loch Ness in Scotland, but also here in Lake Champlain in the United States, we have such a being. I found out there are a race of fourth dimensional beings, actually, just like the Sasquatch, and various other beings are becoming visible now as we literally in the third dimension began to meld and merge with the fourth dimension as part of our ascension process. We're actually moving into an energy, prana, etheric energy and pranic field that we're going to begin to explore more and more. And with it will come the abilities to do things that we couldn't do before. So I think it's exciting. I think it's fun. I love to watch Chris Angel and the wonderful things that he's able to do with his physical body, combining he admits he uses illusion, he uses the magic arts, he uses a very fine-trained body that actually can function in these epikinetic ways, and yogic cities, no doubt. And he brings to bear many, many different facets of operation, and he's probably one of these extraordinary children that have come in. He's a young man, and I would say he's probably one of the psychic children that came in that has this paranormal ability, the X generation, they call them. It's exciting. I love anything that pushes the envelope of the possibility, and I think it's a good thing to have an open enough mind to allow for these new expressions to appear and to learn from them, to observe them, to watch how we can really transcend our limitations tremendously if we choose to do so. Again, we're moving into a time of unlimited possibilities. The only limitations we have, beloved, are the ones you believe you have. So just give yourself permission to move into the newness of a new way of seeing life, a new way of asking with the innocence of a child for the things you would like to experience, for the things that you would like to explore and have more revelation about. We don't have often because we just don't ask. And sometimes we don't ask because we don't really know how to ask. But if you long for something more, you can say that. I want to take my next step. I want to expand beyond where I am now. I ask to have a greater revelation of my own divinity and the wisdom of God, the wisdoms that are available to me at this time that would be for my highest good. I ask to be shown the path of my highest unfoldment and destiny that is in perfect harmony with the will of God and the plan of God for my life. I should begin to ask in great simplicity and great innocence for these things that are your birthrights, beloveds. These are for you. These are the things that are stored up for you, waiting for you to mature and to develop to the point where you have the spiritual stamina and strength and energy to embrace of and receive these wonderful things. So make room for them in your life. Make room for the more. And be willing to let go of that which has served its purpose. You know what it is. It doesn't do anything for you anymore. And we outgrow things in this phenomenal world if we're eager eaters and if we're really progressing spiritually and processing the wherewithals of our life, we use up things quickly. So don't stay in places where there's no vitality, no life, no love, and nothing happening, but move to the places that stir you and inspire you to take your next level. Here in the Ashtar Command, we're very excited as many, many things unfold on the physical planet. There is now the open embracement and releasing of a lot of information that's been held secret, really not from anyone that does any kind of thinking or research, but from the masses, let's say. We're now being exposed to many UFO stories and information that, from credible experiencers and participants in these various scenarios that are revealing that we do live in a populated universe. We do have visitors coming to this planet. We have had them for many, many centuries, and finally the lid is off. I think that if we don't do that here in this country, we'll be an embarrassment, because there's already so many countries in the world that openly embrace of extraterrestrial beings and interactions. So here we are, we're coming into the first day of the rest of our cosmic lives, and there are many good things that will be appearing in science, in spirituality, and in our understanding in the years ahead. Again, if you'd like to contact me, you can click on the name of my show, The Voice of the Ashtar Command. It'll take you to my webpage, and there's a link to my website and my phone number and email. And if there's anything I can personally be of service to you in facilitating your own activation and decodement and understanding, let me know. I'm at your service. And in the meanwhile, be happy, enjoy your life, push the envelope of where you've been to where you could go next. Never say never. The sky is not even the limit anymore, only your own allowing and inability to receive your own birthright could limit you. Other than that, it's open for you now, beloved. So step forth and receive of the blessings that are your own divine inheritance. Prepare a place for it by having an open and loving heart and living a life of active benevolence. And become a spiritual athlete by doing those practices that strengthen your spirit and enable you to stay centered, loving, peaceful, and focused at all times. When you can do that all the time, everything the Father has will be given to you and placed in your lap, and the struggle will no longer be in your life. There's no need to struggle, there's no need to worry, and there's no need to be concerned, because everything truly is unfolding according to the way it needs to in time and space. We'll close this evening probably a little early, since we started a little early. And let's see, let's chant. Let's do a little bhajan. A little bhajan is a chant song. North, south, east, and west, light to the highest good. Light for the highest good, light for the highest good. North, south, east, and west, light for the highest good. Light for the highest good, light for the highest good. Light for the highest good, light for the highest good. North, south, east, and west, light for the highest good. Light for the highest good, Christ, light for the highest good. Blessings and grace, beloveds, until next week. Adonai.